All right, let's walk through an example of testing research hypotheses comparing regression models. Three educational researchers disagreed about the best way to anticipate college performance. It's no fun if we don't fight. We have to fight. That's why we have statistics, so we can fight in public. The first hypothesized the three variables were important. Locus of control. Those with internal locus of control would knuckle down when the going got tough. Reading, a basic skill for academic performance. And science, since these are the courses that drag down and frustrate most young college students. So if I'm going to know how well somebody does in college, I can get along with locus of control, reading, and science. Now the reading and science are high school grades. The second researcher hypothesized that locus of control was an unimportant predictor, calls it psychobabble. So they're suggesting that all we really need is reading and science. The third researcher agreed with the first that locus of control was important, but felt that since many students managed to avoid serious science courses, locus of control and reading would work as well as the first researcher's model. So this person hypothesizes reading and locus. So we've got three researchers with three models. Quick thinking about pairwise comparisons means we've got three research questions among these three hypotheses. Does the locus reading science model work better than the reading science model? And I'd like you to notice that that is tested comparing nested models. The reading science model is nested in the locus reading science model. How are we doing? So if we want to know whether locus contributes, we compare these two. Does the locus science reading model work better than the locus reading model? Another nested model comparison. And finally, does the reading science model work better than the locus reading model? Here we have a comparison of non-nested models. What we see here is a fairly common situation of sort of breaking variables down into groups or grouping them differently. And it's almost always comes out with the same basic idea. We got a full model and different reduced models. We compare each reduced model to the full model. We compare the reduced models to each other. And we've got a story to tell. The more theoretically elegant the selection of those reduced models, the more complete the story will be from these three tests. Now, let's talk about comparing nested models in SPSS. There's two different ways of doing this. One is we can get multiple regression results from each model and plug them into the computator. Or we can have SPSS to change from one model to the other, compute the resulting R-squared change. Depending upon which version of SPSS you have, the results may or may not use the right error term. So I'm going to show you how to use the FCT program, the computator, because it's always right. All right, so we go to analyze regression linear. Now, in this, we're going to use the enter and remove functions, which means we're going to start with a full model, move from the full model to a reduced model, and test the R-squared decrease. We put the dependent variable in here, which is college performance. We put the predictors in, which are locus, reading, and science. And then we click next. The same looking window pops up, only now it says block 2 of 2. We put in locus. And under method, we tell it to remove. So first it's going to enter all three of them. Then it's going to pull out locus. It's also important to go to the statistics button. The estimates will already be clicked. That's what gets you your beta weights and your B weights. The model fit will also be clicked, but you got to make sure that you click the R squared change. That's what gets you the R-squared change F-test. Otherwise, it won't do it. You get three tables back. You get a table with R's and R squares. You get a table of ANOVAs. You get a table of regression weights. Let's look here. Model 1 has an R of 0.658 and R squared of 0.432. That superscript A reminds us that the first model was the full model with science, reading, and locus of control. Down here is the ANOVA for Model 1. This ANOVA is the significance test of the R-square for Model 1. Okay, same as before. We did a multiple regression before. We had one model, one ANOVA table. The ANOVA table is the test of the R-square. Now we have two models. The ANOVA table has two parts. So this second is the test, is the ANOVA, which is the test of the second R-square. So we can see that the first model accounts for a significant amount of variance. The second model also accounts for a significant amount of variance. Now we want to look at the difference between the two models, and that's here under where it says change statistics. Now the top row is redundant and annoys most people. This is what happens when you change from no model at all to the first model. And you will notice that these numbers are exactly the same as these. Because to go from no model at all to the first model is the same as testing the first model. What we really care about is this part right here. The change statistics when we change from model 1 to model 2. This tells us that we lost 0.1% of variance. Not much. In other words, tossing out locus of control didn't hurt this model very much. This is the F. These are the degrees of freedom. And this is the p-value. We would say that the R-squared change is not statistically significant, right? Because p is way bigger than 0.05. So we have a very small R-squared change that is not statistically significant. So both models work, and they work equally well. How are we doing? Here we see the regression weights for each model. Notice that for the first model, we have locus of control, reading, and science. And notice, if you will, that science and reading contribute and locus doesn't. So it's no big surprise that when we drop out locus, the R-squared does not change significantly. If you drop a non-contributor, it doesn't hurt significantly. Now, it's not always this pretty, especially when you get up into some of the models you'll be running where you've got six variables and you're adding three or four. Okay. But it's always a good idea to look and to see if things make sense to you. And if they don't make sense to you, start looking for suppressor variables and start thinking about additional models that you need to examine in order to fully tell the story. You might also notice that when the difference between the two models is just one predictor, that the t-test of that predictor in the model is the same as the R-square change test for taking it out. If you look, can we get it all in the same? We can't. Notice that we have an F of 0.305 and a p-value of 0.581. If you square that, you get 0.305, and there's the same p-value. So the test of pulling a predictor out, the test of pulling one predictor out, is the same as the test of whether or not that predictor contributes to the model. Make sense? And that's an important linkage between some of these different modelings. Now, once in a while, you end up in that second situation where what you have is the information from one model and the information from another model, but maybe you don't have the data set, or maybe you're just looking at a research article, or you're sharing data with somebody. So what we have here is the old SPSS version, and this is someone who has run just the locus and reading model. Here's the R and the R square. This here is the F test, and here's our regression weights. So if we're going to use the R square change F test, this is how we would plug in all of those numbers. Here's the R-square from the three predictor model up above, locus, reading, and science. Here's the from the two predictor model that's just above here, three predictors in one, two in the other, one minus the variance accounted for by the larger model, 200 people, the number of predictors in the largest model minus one, there's our F. When we look at the F table for that degrees of freedom, we see that if we have 6.76, we have a significant model. And so the three predictor model does significantly better than the two predictor model. Now we can plug all of this into the computator. The R-square for the larger model, the number of predictors in the larger model. The R-square for the smaller model, the number of predictors in the smaller model, and N. You compute, you get back your F. Gives you the degrees of freedom so you can look up your critical value. Please notice that there superscript. When you're doing the R-square change F test, what you plug in is R-squares. How are we doing? So, here's how to do an SPSS. Here's how to do it if you sort of cobble those pieces together from multiple analyses. Also, remember, depending upon the version of SPSS, sometimes it does degrees of freedom funny. This is the standard model. We have one last thing to do, comparing non-nested models. Having compared each of the reduced models to the full model, we might next want to consider the two reduced models to each, I'm sorry, we might want to compare the two reduced models to each other. Is there a difference in the variance accounted for by the reading science model and the reading locus model? Remember, we cannot be sure that the R-square for the two reduced models are significantly different just because one is equivalent to the full model and one is smaller than the full model. They're different questions. We talked the other day that knowing that one predictor is significant and another one isn't the same as comparing the two. Same thing here. Knowing that one reduced model does as well as the full model and the other reduced model does less well than the full model doesn't directly tell us about how the two models compare to each other. We have to ask that question explicitly. In order to compare these models, we need to know the correlation between them. This is obtained as the correlation between the y prime values computed from each model. This is something I've been saying over and over. A model is represented by the predictions it makes. The way that I get a correlation between two models is to predict y prime from both of those models, correlate the y prime. Now, not very long ago, this was an annoying process where you had to get out the compute window and you had to type in all of the model and all of that stuff. Ew. It's better now. We're going to go to regression. We're going to put in the dependent variable and we're going to put in the predictors. And then we're going to click on the save button and we're going to ask it to save the unstandardized predicted values. Okay? So SPSS is going to run this regression and it's going to put a new variable out on the right hand side of the data set. That is the predicted value, y prime, for this model. Then we do this again, putting in the predictors for the second model. So here we have locus and reading. The second time through, we will put in science and reading. And again ask for the unstandardized predictors. Then all we have to do is ask for the correlations between the first set of y prime values from the one model, the second set of y prime models from y prime values from the second model, and the criterion variable. And here we get all of our stuff. This value, if you've done this properly, this value will match the multiple R for that model. Because it doesn't matter whether it's a little r or it's a big R. If we build a model out of these and use it to build a Y prime and correlate that Y prime with Y, we're going to get the same correlation. So that, these arrows sort of got slid around, sorry. So,
0.657.
Let's see. This will be the correlation between one model and the criterion. This will be the correlation between the second model and the criterion. And this is the correlation between the two models. I'll try fixing those arrows. I'm afraid that the arrow thing may have to do with when you make it into a PDF file, sometimes arrows behave badly. I will try to fix that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Will you just tell me again which one was the
Sure.
Between the two?
This is the results from one of the models.
Uh-huh.
And this is its correlation with the criterion. This is the predictors from the second model and its correlation with the criterion. And these are the intercorrelations between the predictors.
And not 0.9?
0.91. There's a reminder on here that the FCT program uses R values. So what I usually do to keep from making a mistake is I get this, I make sure that these two numbers match what they should, and then I use numbers from this table. I don't go back and look at the R-squares because you don't want to plug in R-squares, you want to plug in R-values. So, darn it, there's no good place to put this. Oh, that'll do. So this is 0.657. This is 0.601. This is the correlation between the two models. And this is the number of folks. We click on this. We can either look up the critical T, but most of the time we stick with Z because A, it's easier to use, and more importantly, it's the more general version of the model. Hotellings was designed for experimental data. This value is less than 1.96, and so we reject at the 0.05. It's not larger than 2.58, so we cannot reject at the 0.01. So we would say that the one model, science and reading, does better than the other model at predicting the criterion. How are we doing? And notice that we got that even though these models are highly correlated, but we had lots and lots of power. Make sense? The only annoying part, which is way less annoying than it was even a few years ago, is you got to go get these correlations. You don't have to write a bunch of compute statements. You don't have to do anything by hand. All that you do is one model and save the predicted values, the other model, save the predicted values, and get a correlation of those two predicted values and the criterion, and you're all set to plug and chuck.